I'll do it. My children aren't going hungry. I will eat your ass.
A good dad will show up to all their kids' band concerts. A great dad will eat ass. Welcome to another episode of This F***ing Guy, the show that picks one f***ing guy making America worse and explains why they suck. I'm Erin Ryan, host of Crooked Media's Hysteria podcast.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco, the other host of Crooked Media's Hysteria podcast.
Today, we're showcasing a truly hysterical American.
And we don't mean hysterical like he induces hysterical laughter.
Although I have to admit that Alex Jones' emotional outbursts make for entertaining content, the cynical, whorish agenda behind it make him one of America's most deserving of a kick in the nuts.
More than a gentle tap, we need a full-on Chris Boswell-level punt right to the groin.
A kick that splits the uprights from 58 yards out.
He'd probably cry.
Alex Jones has cried over much less than having his crotch shattered by a righteous booting. He's cried so much on camera that if he were a Gilded Age woman, he'd have been institutionalized and issued a medical-grade vibrator to calm him down. Don't worry, we'll get to see him crying at the end of this episode as a little treat. Alyssa, confronting the sheer volume of stupidity that Alex Jones has unleashed on the world for the last 30 years is daunting. The guy has broadcasted for hours a day most days of the week for so long that honestly, if we wanted, we could probably have AI scrape the InfoWars archive and generate a brand new, totally artificial Alex Jones. Many have dismissed Alex as a conspiracy-addled moron, a wild-eyed nutbag, a megachurch pastor for racists with lead poisoning, or a clown. But just because he's a clown doesn't mean he's not dangerous.
Present-day Alex Jones can be relied on to make excuses for the corrupt MAGAites, goose-stepping America towards fascism. But for most of his career, he was the one questioning authority, ever wary of the U.S. government. He hated Democrats and Republicans. He was truly one of those both sides are equally bad guys.
So how does one go from don't tread on me conspiracy goon to tread on me daddy Donald Trump bootlicker? Let's try to figure it out. Alex Jones was born on February 11th, 1974, and raised in Rockwall, Texas, a suburb of Dallas. He apparently had a normal life. He was on the football team. He had a normal family, except for the fact that his dad was a dentist. And a lot of weirdos have dads who are dentists.
Including bad weirdo Mark Zuckerberg and good weirdo Miles Davis.
Great dentist dad trivia, Alyssa. So here's an important thing to know about Alex Jones. He is full of shit. And so any story he tells about himself where he looks good should be taken with a grain of salt.
Fucking guys love a fib that makes them sound cool and tough.
In a 2011 Rolling Stone profile, Jones told the following tall tale. When he was a teenager, he was radicalized by witnessing the corruption in his local police department. He said that when he was a sophomore, he mouthed off to the police who had pulled him over and accused them of dealing drugs to kids during a school assembly. That's why his family moved to Austin, he says. And not long after the Joneses left town, the police department was busted for exactly the crimes that Alex had accused them of.
As Dakota Johnson would say, actually, that's not the truth, Ellen.
Actually, no, that's not the truth, Ellen.
A CNN deep dive into Jones from 2022 found what probably caused Alex Jones' dad to uproot the family and move cities was Jones got his ass kicked.
The ass kicking started with Alex mouthing off about the girlfriend of another football player who was appropriately named Bubba. Alex had slammed Bubba's head into the floor of a classroom, and Bubba suffered 9 skull fractures and permanent hearing damage.
How did he slam his head onto the floor? Like a pile driver?
Yeah, exactly, like the wrestling move. So Bubba's understandably pissed. And after he got out of the hospital, he and another student jumped Alex at a party, at one point hitting him in the face with a rake.
It's like if professional wrestling were real.
Yeah, so this fucked up Alex's teeth so badly that his dentist dad had to perform, quote, extensive surgery on his son. And that seems like the reason they left Rockwall. It wasn't because Alex Jones was too badass for the cops to handle. Oh, and that story about the police being busted for dealing drugs, that did happen 2 years before Alex Jones' dad moved the family to Austin. So the school assembly accusation probably didn't happen.
Alex was also known to have occasional bizarre outbursts as a teen, stomping around his neighborhood shirtless, chanting and muttering about the devil.
Who among us, Alyssa? Football wasn't the only brain damage causing pastime that Alex Jones enjoyed as a teenager. Years later, during an appearance on Joe Rogan's podcast, Jones would brag that he and his friends used to get high by choking each other out when they were kids.
Okay, so in addition to brain damage, Jones says he was also influenced by the 1971 book None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, which was written by former George Wallace speechwriter, John Birch Society member, and certifiably insane racist and anti-Semite Gary Allen.
The crazy thing about Alex Jones and None Dare Call It a Conspiracy is that Alex Jones wasn't so much influenced by the book as he cribbed his entire worldview from it. InfoWars is basically None Dare Call It a Conspiracy live. Allen's book claims, among other things, that a group of powerful quote-unquote insiders are in control of world governments, not elected officials, and that Jewish bankers and families like the Rothschilds finance communist takeovers of Christian governments around the world.
Ah, there's the anti-Semitism.
You knew it was coming, Alyssa.
Knew it.
None Dare Call It a Conspiracy pits freedom and Western-style democracy against communism and enslavement. It also argues that the United Nations, International Monetary Fund, and the Federal Reserve Bank are tools of these globalists, and that their ultimate goal is to abolish individual nations and realign all governments into a single totalitarian New World Order.
Wait. So is that where the phrase New World Order came from?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
Allen writes that this will be accomplished incrementally through international alliances and trade agreements.
Like NATO?
Yep. Another tool that so-called globalists would use was staging disasters and tragedies, terrorist attacks, plane crashes, etc. None Dare Call It a Conspiracy claims that everything is by design. Nothing is by accident. In fact, people who doubt that a group of powerful elites are orchestrating everything are denigrated as naive accidentalists.
Well, I'll be. So that's where the whole false flag thing comes from, a conspiracy bestseller from the 1970s.
Yep. What, Alyssa, you think a guy who had been bonked on the head and recreationally choked out as much as Alex Jones would be coming up with that shit himself?
I frankly couldn't have imagined where this was all coming from. Toward the end of his senior year of high school in 1993, law enforcement raided the compound belonging to the Branch Davidian religious sect in Waco, Texas. The government alleged that the sect had been stockpiling weapons and abusing children, and a series of violent overtures by both sides eventually led to the compound being engulfed in flames. Some say that the sect members set the blaze themselves. Others claim that the government set the fire. Regardless, when it was all over, more than 80 people, including 24 children, were dead.
It was a boondoggle that influenced the conspiracy fringe for years to come.
The raid was massively influential to Alex's worldview, which was about to be issued its first bullhorn.
Alex Jones, like so many American men who would go on to great media success, armed with a high school education and a big fat mouth, sought his fortune on a local public access channel. Yes, there was a time when Austin was actually weird instead of corporate weird.
In 1995, a right-wing terrorist named Timothy McVeigh bombed a federal building in Oklahoma City, killing 168. McVeigh had planned the bombing in retaliation for the Branch Davidian raid, as well as for another ATF raid gone bad in Ruby Ridge, Idaho.
But Alex Jones told his viewers that Timothy McVeigh couldn't have done it, that the Oklahoma City bombing was orchestrated by the U.S. government in order to provide pretext for a military-style crackdown. That's right. Say it with me, friends. A false flag.
Something tells me we're going to be seeing that phrase a lot.
In 1996, Jones started hosting a radio show called The Final Edition on Austin's KJFK 98.9. He gave his show that name because we're supposed to think that his opinions are so dangerous that jackbooted globalists might kick down the studio door at any time and drag him to the New World Gulag. The Branch Davidian raid and his theory that it wasn't a botched law enforcement raid, but rather a targeted killing of women and children, was Alex's hyperfixation. In 1998, Jones's listeners raised more than $90,000 to build a new church for the religious sect. Jones was so consumed with wild theories about the Branch Davidian raid that it eventually got him fired from the radio station in 1999, despite the fact that he'd tied for first place in a vote for Austin's favorite talk radio host that year, thanks to content like this.
Hello, caller, are you on the air?
Yes, Alex, how you doing?
Pretty good.
I was just kind of curious if it's true that the police can have laser or infrared beams, if you want to call it, and they can project those into your house to basically...
Yeah, the Austin Police Department's, last time I heard, has 20 units with infrared. If you have enough of a heat source in your house, it'll pick up the heat source and show a signature. It's called flare. It's infrared or heat signature. Black helicopters are being used for surveillance of the public by sheriff's departments and police departments around the country.
Like, if I were really stoned on Halloween and it was 1997... I would
it
be
has
like, I'm into
yes.
this. You'll notice in these early clips that he hasn't yet adopted that Beetlejuice voice he's now known for.
Jones wasn't let go from the radio station because he was too dangerous to be on the air. It was that it was tough for the station to sell advertising against the show.
What, Alyssa, doesn't hearing a man yell nonstop about people being burned alive in an ATF raid make you want to buy a new car?
Alex's firing didn't stop the march of his crazy. That's because he and his wife Kelly had started the company InfoWars in 1999, which meant Alex was his own boss.
At first, InfoWars was a humble little outfit that produced conspiracy fringe films available to purchase through the mail. One of those films was, of course, about the Waco raid on the Branch Davidian compound. It was called America, Wake Up or Waco. He also hosted a radio show from InfoWars HQ, aka his house. It's hard to overstate the volume of content that Alex Jones put out into the world. If I started watching Alex Jones hosted programming from the beginning, I'd probably die before I got all the way caught up. It's like how I feel when I try to get into the extended Star Wars universe.
By the early 2000s, Jones was syndicated on more than 100 radio stations across the country. In 2000, he dipped his toes into political waters, announcing he'd run for the state representative in Texas District 48, but then backed out before things got serious. What a turn his life could have taken if he'd become a member of Congress.
Honestly, Alyssa, he'd probably be the head of the Judiciary
totally.
Committee by now. One thing I've seen about Alex Jones is that he predicted 9/11, but he totally didn't. People say that he did because on July 25th, 2001, he said on his show that he thought that globalists in the U.S. government would stage a terror attack on American soil, possibly at the World Trade Center in New York, as a pretext for declaring martial law. He also mentioned Osama bin Laden and urged his viewers to call Congress, tell them we know the government is planning terrorism. Not sure what Congress could do about it, but...
So he put any national security type word into one sentence and went for broke.
Exactly. But as pointed out by the excellent Alex Jones-focused podcast Knowledge Fight, Alex Jones gets credit for predicting 9/11 largely because Alex Jones gave himself credit for predicting 9/11. Because on the actual day of the terror attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, Jones, like the rest of us, had no fucking clue what had just happened.
9/11 was a tragic, terrible day, apparently only to be made worse by Alex Jones, I'm guessing.
On the actual day, he blamed the American government and the British royal family, surmising that the attack had been a, say it with me,
a false flag.
A false flag meant to boost the value of the euro. He later decided that no, it couldn't have been the British royal family. It was probably some other miscellaneous Europeans working in tandem with the American government.
Still wrong.
The Knowledge Fight hosts observed that Alex Jones's so-called prediction sounded an awful like a combination of two things that predated the prediction. Conspiracy theorist Bill Cooper's June 28, 2001 prediction that Osama bin Laden would be blamed for a terror attack on American soil, and the X-Files spinoff TV show The Lone Gunman, which featured somebody flying a remote control airplane into the World Trade Center and first aired in March of 2001.
Once again, not an original thought in that knocked around noggin.
Yeah, many critics of Jones have noticed that Alex Jones, like the current occupant of the White House, seems very easily influenced by the last thing he watched on television or the last person he listened to. 9/11 was perhaps the greatest thing to ever happen to Alex Jones, at least as far as his career was concerned. In the years after the attacks, his audience grew exponentially. Alex even got to pal around with Charlie Sheen.
Jones appeared in dozens of 9/11 conspiracy-related videos and films, including the 2007 documentary Loose Change, where Jones claimed that the World Trade Center towers were brought down by a controlled demolition, not by the airplanes crashing into them. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams, if you will.
He also claimed that it was the U.S. government that was behind the attacks, not Osama bin Laden, who he claims was framed. Wait! It's time for a
false flag.
Yeah. Globalists, perhaps affiliated with the Bush family or maybe not, blew up the World Trade Center. Those planes were just for decoration, I guess. And Osama bin Laden was unjustly accused of a crime he didn't commit. This marks the first and only time Alex Jones would defend a Muslim.
Yeah, wouldn't it have been more convenient for his white nationalist sensibilities if the World Trade Center had been attacked by Islamic extremists?
When it comes to trying to figure out why Alex Jones does what he does, remember, mentally, he's not playing chess. He's playing Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Jones's conspiracy mongering got a lot of attention. Not long after Loose Change debuted, Jones and a bunch of his fans bum-rushed a Geraldo Rivera broadcast in New York City. In this clip, you can hear Alex Jones yelling, 9/11 was an inside job, into a bullhorn, and you can see the pain in Geraldo's eyes.
surrounded by an activist, radical, I don't know, communist group. I don't know who the hell they are. But let me go on to our planned program. First, he said he was going to step down after allegedly approaching an undercover cop for sex.
Okay.
As this group of misfits behind me continue their chanting, oh, I wish I could go through them.
Geraldo!
Yes. Let's go to Mark Garagos. I think it's quieter in Los Angeles.
This resulted in Jones being charged with unauthorized use of a megaphone, which I didn't realize was a crime.
Jones also appeared in other 9/11 related media like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, and Aftermath, Unanswered Questions from 9/11.
Well, Alex Jones fancies himself a bit of a Nostradamus. Unfortunately, because most of his predictions have been made to a video camera, we have plenty of video evidence that he's actually full of shit. One of the wrongest bitches in the game. So here's a partial list of things that Alex Jones predicted that were wrong, according to a Reddit community for Alex Jones haters. In June 2007, Jones predicted that government forces were going to nuke Chicago, quote, in the next month. That's right. A false flag. In 2008, Jones predicted that the U.S. dollar would decrease in value by 90% before the presidential election, that the government was going to mandate a national draft, and that all pensions would disappear by 2010. None of those things happened.
Jones' poor prediction record during the financial crisis continued into 2009 when he predicted three separate times in February of that year that they would stage another 9/11 before August and blame it on somebody else. That's right. Another...
False flag. That's right. By the end of February, Jones had moved the goalposts again, clarifying that the attack would be happening, quote, by the end of the year. He also predicted that there would be a new world war started within the next few years and that the government would turn off the internet by 2011. Hmm. God, if they had turned off the internet by 2011.
No internet.
Maybe they should have. In 2010, he said that he feared being killed or sent to prison and that there'd be a staged assassination attempt against President Obama, blamed on, you guessed it, somebody else.
False flag.
The imagined assassination, he predicted, would be blamed on a 9/11 truther who was also an Islamicist with ties to the Tea Party. Does that person exist? Also, within 16 months, at least 15 European nations would collapse.
Okay, well, in 2015, he predicted that the roads would be turning into robot roads within a decade. And famously, he freaked out about chemicals being added to the water to turn the frogs gay, which led to one of the most iconic moments in broadcast history.
What do you think tap water is? It's a gay bomb, baby. And I'm not saying people didn't naturally have homosexual feelings. I'm not even getting into it, quite frankly. I mean, give me a break. You think I am like, oh, shocked by it, so I'm up here bashing it because I don't like gay people? I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay. Do you understand that? Serious crap.
I mean, I feel like if there were gay frogs, we'd have known from someone other than Alex Jones.
Probably, yeah.
Jones' conniption, so inspiring that it spawned several dance remixes.
Turn the friggin' frogs gay! Do you understand that? Turn the friggin' frogs gay! Serious crap! Gay! Frogs!
Wow.
Oh my God. Alyssa, though, be honest, if that were playing at a wedding dance, you would run to the dance floor.
I would do the gator.
I would do one of those like Russian kicking dances, and I've never done one of those in my life.
This is part of the conspiracy handbook that predicts they, i.e. the globalists, were dabbling in population control. He said that transgenderism is a part of a CIA plan to depopulate humanity, but it's also part of an evil pedophile plan to sexualize and destroy children.
I don't get it, Alyssa. If the evil globalist transgender people like having sex with kids so much, then why are they taking such extreme measures to make sure that fewer of them are born? It's a bad plan.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action, not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
In 2018, Jones said conservatives would all get kicked off talk radio and conservatives would be banned from the internet, and that law firms in D.C. were conspiring together to end the First Amendment. He claimed that FBI Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller was a child rapist and a demon and threatened to shoot him.
They'd let Mueller rape kids in front of people, which he did. And Mueller covered up for a decade for Epstein, kidnapping kids, flying them on sex planes, some kids as young as 7 years old, reportedly, with big perverts raping them to frame people. I mean, Mueller is a monster, man. That's a demon I will take down or I'll die trying. So that's it. It's going to happen. We're going to walk out the square politically, high noon, and he's going to find out when he makes a move, man. Make the move first, and then it's going to happen. Politically, you're going to get it.
Aaron, he is exhausting. He is like a nail through your head.
This is a good one. In 2020, Jones predicted that America was going to ban vaginal births.
Stop.
Why? Stop. Why, you may ask? Well, Alyssa, I'm going to tell you. Because Alex Jones thinks that C-sections reduce the brain volume and IQ of babies, and they're cheaper for hospitals to do. In April 2020, Jones predicted that they would kill Donald Trump in the next couple of weeks and say that he had a stroke and that 300 million people would die over the next few years. He suggested that a Jewish space laser had started wildfires in California.
Is that where Marjorie Taylor Greene got that rumor?
Could be. Could be. Jones was having a normal one in 2021 when he predicted that they were going to shut everything down and blow up federal buildings and poison the water supply. They would also find the time in 2021 to fly 112,000 Afghani people into the U.S. and that those Afghanis would do so much terrorism that it would give the government an excuse to declare martial law. God, I've heard this one already, which will give the government an excuse to ship American citizens to a COVID death camp.
One way to tell that Alex Jones is lying, besides when his mouth is moving, is when he starts using specific numbers and timelines. He's like Elon Musk or Donald Trump, or like the Welsh paratrooper I dated, who it turned out was neither Welsh nor a paratrooper in that way.
I have some follow-up questions that I hope you will take them offline. And of course, Alex, who is not a creative or particularly smart person, was constantly recycling some of his frequent flyers, like the idea that the government was setting up FEMA camps in which to imprison and enslave citizens. The government was using staged mass shootings as an excuse to seize citizens' guns. Vaccines are a conspiracy meant to encourage human depopulation. The U.S. government stages natural disasters, including Hurricane Katrina somehow.
If the globalists are so powerful, then why do they need to convince the population to believe them in order to seize power? Why haven't they just taken it? These seem like very elaborate and difficult to execute schemes. Wouldn't a straight path to totalitarianism just be easier? Why all the tricks? They can make a goddamn hurricane, but they can't cancel the Constitution?
Alyssa, leave the question asking to InfoWars, okay? Despite the fact that Alex Jones was wrong a lot more often than he was right, by 2017, InfoWars was getting an estimated 10 million visitors per month, which is more than many mainstream news outlets like The Economist. Sometimes his broadcast got more viewers than the nightly news. He was flying so high in 2017 that Megyn Kelly, who was pretending to be normal at the time, interviewed him for NBC News. How can one person be so loudly incorrect about so many things? Well, one possible explanation is all that brain trauma from his youth. But when you layer substance abuse on top of that, well, honey, you got yourself a gay frog's rant.
Yes, Alex Jones' well-known drinking problem exudes from most everything he does, like projectile vomit from the back window of a 3 a.m. Uber.
Employees of InfoWars have reported that Jones is frequently drinking at work. He often appears sloshed out of his mind on his show and during appearances on other people's shows, like this supercut from one single episode of the Joe Rogan Experience.
Hey, listen, bitches, you may force feed Eddie Bravo a bunch of CNN Fox News shit every morning, but you're fucking getting the Joe Rogan Experience up your fucking ass. We're going to have the kids delivered for entertainment. They'll be in the hot tub. A guy getting screwed by a horse. Succulent hot dogs. I'm sending shooters in to shoot people at a pizza place. Psychic vampires stealing the energy from the kids. And I don't care if Obama is at a party with 15 dudes. That's his issue.
Are you trying to say that Barack Obama is a homosexual?
I'm saying he's bisexual. I just know all this crap.
Well, you get crazy and start ranting.
People won't listen to me because I got too much data.
Too much data, Aaron.
There are also rumors that Jones is into the nose candy. You know, the booger sugar, the white lady, yayo, the queso blanco.
Now, why on earth would anybody suspect that Alex Jones was on cocaine?
We have scored a direct stab in those sons of bitches' hearts. We got to keep running the knife in, though, folks. We got to keep running it in there, not worry what they're doing, Dutch. You want to fight? You're getting it. You wanted to overrun us and poison us and take our families and kill us? You will die, not us!
Could be the screaming, could be the tooth grinding, could be the fact that there's a theory that Alex Jones is secretly a DJ.
A what?
Yeah. So in the background of some videos, he's in front of fancy DJ equipment, and a YouTube account associated with him has commented on videos of other DJs using their equipment in a way that only a DJ would comment. Now, it does seem like it's one of Alex Jones's relatives that is the DJ and not Alex, but if the Alex Jones is a secret DJ rumor were true, it makes some of his cocainey behaviors more excusable. Unfortunately, it does appear that rather than using cocaine to make excellent music, if he is in fact using cocaine, which is a big if, on speculation, purely based on how he looks and acts, Alex Jones is just using it to be annoying. If he's not, he's just naturally annoying without cocaine.
There's been speculation that he's abused other substances as well, based on, well, this video.
You understand how good it feels out here right now? You understand how high I am off being out here? This feels awesome. This feels fantastic. This is what it is to be alive, like our ancestors running around and stuff a lot colder than this, taking animals down and hauling them back to the women with big fires in the caves. Rah, yeah, living. That's what it's about. I'm out here bathing in the night. Forest bathing yesterday. That's what it's all about. I don't need drugs. This is what it is to take on the globalists and have Hillary attack you and Obama attack you and the communist Chinese attack you and call for your censorship.
I see that dark heart. Show them the dark heart right there.
There it is right there. There. It is. I do it right here only over my heart.
He put this video up himself. But despite the access to all the illicit substances Jones enjoys as a rich man who hangs around dirtbags, he still sometimes yearns for the simpler highs of his youth. On more than one podcast appearance, he has attempted to goad another adult man into choking him out, like he and his friends used to do when they were kids. During an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience, Jones tried to get Eddie Bravo to choke him out. Eddie Bravo is, I guess, Joe Rogan's manservant or something. Mm. I mean, I don't know, Alyssa. I don't watch the show. I've got kids. I've got responsibilities. But later, on another podcast, Jones got his wish to be choked out by another adult man when jiu-jitsu champ Craig Jones choked him unconscious on the El Segundo podcast.
And then there was the drunk driving arrest. In March 2020, Jones and his now ex-wife were in a fight. She called the police and Jones got in his car and drove off. Police stopped him, and while he blew slightly under the legal limit.
Like so close to the legal limit, it's crazy. The legal limit is 0.08 in Texas, and he blew a 0.076 and a 0.079.
But reeked of booze and failed a field sobriety test. He posted a $3,000 bond and was released and later whined about it on his show.
A lack of attention to his health would explain why Alex Jones, at only 51 years old, looks like a big toe with a string wrapped around it tight enough to cut off the blood circulation.
Erin, this one hits close to home. Alex Jones is 51. We are basically the same age.
Okay, Alyssa, but you are not a hard 51. Jones is a hard 51.
He's a hard 51.
Here are some people who are older than Alex Jones. Winona Ryder. Older than Alex Jones. James Marsden.
Oh.
Idris Elba.
Mm.
Christian Bale.
Hot.
Brooke Shields.
Also hot.
Yes.
Okay, that's not fair. Those are beautiful celebrities.
Okay, here's a non-beautiful celebrity example. Joe Rogan is 7 years older than Alex Jones.
Honestly, Rogan reads so much younger.
That's because he's got the slack-jawed credulity of a 15-year-old C student. In addition to showcasing Jones's emotional dysregulation, as time went on, InfoWars became more about selling supplements than it did about anything else. A 2017 analysis by Last Week Tonight with John Oliver found that Jones spent about a quarter of his show selling supplements. Here's the genius of Alex Jones and what makes him one of our most quintessentially American fucking guys. His show sells both problems and solutions.
Say more.
By that, I mean Jones will, say, claim that the government is putting chemicals in the water that threaten male virility. And then he'll sell a powder that, would you believe it, fixes the problem that he just said the government caused.
It should come as a surprise to nobody that when BuzzFeed News reporters sent the supplements that Jones sells off to a lab to be analyzed, they found that they were basically shitty vitamins with the price jacked up, at best.
At worst, they contain several times the amount of lead that human beings are supposed to take in per week. See, I told you that lead poisoning would be a factor in the rise of Alex Jones.
It always comes back to the lead. Unsurprisingly, Alex Jones is not known to be a very good boss. InfoWars has faced leaks, lawsuits, and accusations that Jones sometimes parades around shirtless and occasionally pantsless, walks up to random employees and demands that they hit him so that he could punch them back. I was accidentally pantsless once on the Kerry campaign, but I can assure you the inverse has never happened.
Oh, God. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform designed to help you stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or scaling your business, Squarespace gives you everything you need to claim your domain, showcase your offerings with a professional website, grow your brand, and get paid all in one place. You know, my mom always makes Halloween costumes for all of her grandchildren every year, and they're always extremely elaborate and bespoke and amazing. And for years, I've been trying to bully her into starting a business and letting people order Halloween costumes for their own kids through her. Squarespace is probably the only way I'm going to get her to do it, because Squarespace is so easy to use that I won't spend hours on the phone with my mom coaching her. It's very intuitive. It allows her to showcase her product, to reach new customers. Mom, if you're listening, please start your Halloween costume business. You would make bank. I'm telling you, Squarespace gives you everything you need to offer services and get paid all in one place, from consultations to events and experiences. Showcase your offerings with a customizable website designed to attract clients and grow your business. Get paid on time with professional on-brand invoices and online payments. Plus, streamline your workflow with scheduling and email marketing tools. With Squarespace's collection of cutting-edge design tools, anyone can build a bespoke online presence that perfectly fits their brand or business. Start with Blueprint AI, Squarespace's AI-enhanced website builder, to get a fully custom website in just a few steps, using basic information about your industry, goals, and personality to generate premium quality content and personalized design recommendations. Go to squarespace.com/hysteria for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, use offer code hysteria to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/hysteria, offer code hysteria. Leaked text messages from Jones shows that he seems to have a fair amount of contempt for his viewers. A former employee of InfoWars said, quote, "We kind of address the audience as this low IQ, grab onto anything gullible tribe of very dangerous people."
Further evidence suggests that InfoWars employees would alter the number of views videos had to make them look more popular. Like we said at the beginning, nothing that Alex Jones says about himself is trustworthy because the man is 90% hot air.
Alex Jones is not a very good husband either. According to his ex-wife, Kelly, he's a diagnosed narcissist and a shitty dad. 2 years after their 2015 divorce, Kelly asked a court in Texas to alter their custody agreement for the three children that they share. As she said that Jones's behavior on his show indicated that he was not a fit parent. He was also angling to have their son Rex turned into some kind of mini Alex Jones right-wing influencer.
Aaron, when you say he's a bad dad, I don't think you're being fair. Don't you remember this video where Jones vowed to eat his neighbors in order to keep his kids alive?
Here's why I felt so sick. I'll admit it. I will eat my neighbors. I'm not letting my kids die. I'm just being honest. My superpower is being honest. I've extrapolated this out, and I won't have to for a few years since I got food and stuff, but I'm literally looking at my neighbors now and going, I'm ready to hang them up and gut them and skin them and chop them up. You know what? I'm ready. My daughters aren't starving to death. I'll eat my neighbors. See, my superpower is being honest. I'll eat your ass. The point is have you thought about that yet? Because I'm somebody that thought I could fix this, and I'm starting to think about having to eat my neighbors. You think I like sizing up my neighbor, how I'm going to haul him up by a chain and chop his ass up? I'll do it. My children aren't going hungry. I will eat your ass.
A good dad will show up to all their kids' band concerts. A great dad will eat ass. Jones's defense in his custody trial was that he was just pretending to be a psycho for work. His lawyer said that he was a performance artist, and the man America watched screaming about false flags and tactical dick pills was just a character, like the Joker from Batman. This was complicated by the fact that after his lawyer made that claim, Alex Jones appeared on InfoWars to clarify that, quote, "We're the most bona fide, hardcore, real McCoy thing there is." But then in court, shortly thereafter, he was like, nah, I'm definitely a performance artist.
Black Mirror meets court TV.
Eventually, a jury agreed to award primary custody of the children to his ex-wife, thus making Alex Jones the second most divorced man in America, after Jeff Bezos.
Nobody will ever act more divorced than Jeff Bezos. Meanwhile, Jones got remarried to a woman named Erica Wolf. The two had a child together, but alas, this love wasn't to last either. By September 2024, the couple had mutual restraining orders against each other. In May 2025, Jones filed for divorce.
In 2022, Jones' legal team accidentally leaked texts to opposing counsel during a defamation lawsuit. Don't worry. We're getting there, folks. We're getting there. The texts revealed that Jones had a small spy ring to keep tabs on people close to him, including his future ex-wife, Erica.
Girl, I'd say I feel sorry for you, but you had to know what you were getting into when you married Alex Jones in the year of our Lord 2017. What were you thinking?
Great question. We probably would not have President Trump or President Trump II sundown and across America without the assistance of Alex Jones. For one thing, just as Alex Jones's ideas are mostly John Birch Society's sloppy seconds, so too are Donald Trump's wildest claims, microwaved Alex Jones bullshit.
During the 2016 campaign, Trump said a lot of things that would probably sound familiar to InfoWars fans. Stuff like that fabricated story about Muslims celebrating on 9/11, the one where Hillary Clinton was facing serious secret health issues, and weird disinformation about the drought in California. When Trump was elected, he called Jones personally to thank him for mobilizing the previously underestimated scary uncle vote.
On the eve of Trump's election in 2016, Alex Jones was experiencing a dysregulated kaleidoscope of emotions, from despairing to triumphant to pensive. Some in his inner circle say that he was actually a little bummed that Trump had won. I can understand why he'd be a little freaked out about Hillary not winning, as that would mean he'd have to construct an elaborate excuse for how an anti-establishment skeptic can reconcile being the pocket gerbil of a United States president. That's a lot of mental gymnastics for a man in such bad shape.
Jones' new angle was QAnon adjacent. Trump was a brave patriot who was being set up to fail by the deep state globalists embedded in every cranny of the American government who wanted Trump to fail. As an amplifier of the Pizzagate theory, Jones stoked baseless rumors that Hillary Clinton and high-ranking members of the Democratic Party were running a pedophile ring out of Comet Ping Pong, a pizza restaurant in the D.C. area.
In December 2016, a man named Edgar Madison Welch armed himself with a rifle and set off to Comet Ping Pong to investigate the theory and, quote, rescue the kids that Jones and the other conspiracy theorists had said were being molested by Hillary Clinton inside. Thankfully, nobody was hurt physically. Jones apologized to the owner of the restaurant, removed all Pizzagate-related content from the InfoWars website, and retracted his previous statements accusing a small business owner of hosting a child sexual abuse ring, apparently in a rare encounter with bare-bones decency.
But just as a zebra can't change its stripes, Alex Jones can't not be a total piece of shit.
The Comet Ping Pong incident was far from the first time that an Alex Jones fan took a gun somewhere they shouldn't. There's a long list of Jones-inspired nutjobs who have been goaded into causing mayhem by Jones's broadcasts. Among them is a 22-year-old loser named Jared Loughner, who in 2011 opened fire in a crowd in Tucson, Arizona, killing six people and wounding Arizona Representative Gabrielle Giffords so seriously that it took years for her to learn to walk and speak again. Loughner had been a big, big fan of Jones's 9/11 film Loose Change.
Jones dismissed his role in Loughner's actions by alleging that the murderer had been abducted and brainwashed by the U.S. government. The whole thing was a mind control operation. Okay. Really? Like 9/11, the COVID-19 pandemic was great for Alex Jones.
Of course, Jones was a champion of the belief that COVID-19 was engineered in a Chinese lab, but he gave it a little extra InfoWars zing. He claimed that deep state actors within the U.S. government had aided the evil Chinese scientists. He predictably reacted to public officials asking that people wear masks with the same measured civility as a horny frat boy on the verge of whiskey dick being asked to wear a condom.
Yuck.
And of course, he was on Team Vaccines Make You Sick.
So COVID was a scary disease made by the globalists and Chinese, but also taking steps to prevent it was dumb, and also the vaccine was bad. Disease, bad. Preventing disease, silly. Cure, also bad.
Alyssa, you're misreading the situation. And by misreading, I mean thinking about it at all. His stances on COVID do not make sense in tandem. But let me just explain it in Alex Jones parlance. Alex Jones took COVID-19 very seriously. He was a big fan of treating the illness with ivermectin, a drug used by veterinarians to prevent heartworm and treat other parasites in large animals, and also to treat certain parasites in humans.
But Aaron, COVID-19 isn't caused by lice or worms.
Okay, Debbie Deep State. So maybe using a livestock dewormer to treat a viral infection isn't your thing. Fine. Alex Jones had other options for you too, like a colloidal silver-containing product called Super Blue Toothpaste that Jones claimed kill the whole SARS corona family at Point Blank Range, a completely unsubstantiated assertion with no scientific evidence to support it. The FDA issued a cease and desist over that one.
I'll just stick with bleach, thanks.
As far-right extremists have gained more important positions in the American government, Jones's cozy ties with domestic terrorist groups are barely concealed. Jones isn't a member of the Proud Boys himself, but that hasn't stopped him from filling a sort of drunken stepdad role for them. He has hosted members of the group on his show, including Enrique Tarrio, who, by the way, turned out to be an FBI informant. We don't talk about that enough.
We need to get back to that.
Yeah.
Jones was a big supporter of the Stop the Steal movement, which was a mass delusion of MAGA freaks who believed that Donald Trump was the rightful winner of the 2020 election and LARPed revolution so hard at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th that 5 people died. Jones was a frequent speaker at the Stop the Steal-related events, including on the night before the riot at the Capitol, and was seen marching toward the Capitol with a bullhorn on the day itself. It's also been reported that Jones cozied up to Julie Fincelli, the 72-year-old heiress to the Publix grocery store chain, and convinced her to donate $650,000 to organizations gathering supporters in D.C. for the rally-turned-riot. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, at least $200,000 of that money was deposited into accounts linked to businesses owned by Alex Jones.
Security for Jones at these events was provided at least in part by a far-right militia group called the Oath Keepers. You might know the Oath Keepers by their leader, Stuart Rhodes, the balding guy in the dumb-looking eye patch who looks like he smells like unwiped ass.
Eventually, Jones was called to testify before the January 6th committee in Congress, where he pleaded the Fifth more than 100 times.
The Trump era has required the ever-swelling Alex Jones to be a bit more limber with his tall tales of government treachery. Take the Epstein files, for example.
This whole Epstein file thing must be so bittersweet for Alex. He's got so many things he loves to scream about. Powerful child molesters, cover-ups, wealthy people who believe that they're above reproach. For years before Trump's second term, Jones insisted that Epstein was affiliated with foreign intelligence and that powerful people in the U.S. government were protecting him. But Jones can't really hammer on it the way he used to because his guy is the president and his guy is on the list.
Back in July, when the Justice Department released its memo proclaiming that there was no Epstein client list and there was no public interest in releasing more information about the prolific sex traffickers' crimes, Jones tried to rationalize it by expressing his disappointment, but by filling in the blanks that actually Trump had no choice but to keep the contents of the files secret.
Wait, why?
Well, Alyssa, it's because the Epstein file contents are currently being used to blackmail members of the deep state within the government into obeying President Trump. And if Trump were to release the files, then their ability to blackmail the deep state operatives into obedience to the MAGA agenda would evaporate.
Well, of course, that makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, for a guy who's been claiming since the 1990s that he's such a dangerous truth teller that the government is probably out to silence him by killing him, Alex Jones is awfully loud and alive. It's almost like he's full of shit. And what he has to say is not and never has been threatening to the powerful in any real way. Which brings us to the grimmest, sickest part of the story of Alex Jones, his psychotic fixation on hurting families of children killed in school shootings, and the satisfying, catastrophic reckoning that has been, for the last several years, constantly breathing down his neck. Now, we've already discussed how Alex Jones yells false flag, like the most obnoxious 25-year-old guy at Barney's Beanery yells, "My wife!" He's especially fond of declaring mass shootings false flags, meant to provide an excuse for the government to take all the guns away. That's probably because it's easier to claim that school shootings aren't real than it is to just admit that he thinks his gun ownership is worth more than the lives of other people's children.
And he's antagonized mass shooting victims and grieving families in the past. In 2013, he showed up to a Moms Demand Action event for kids at a taco restaurant in San Antonio and got into a fight with one of the parents of a girl killed in the mass shooting at a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. In December of 2012, a gunman killed 26 people in Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. 20 of them were children under 7 years old. Aaron, I spoke to the FBI in Newtown hours after the event. I was told gruesome things I will never forget and would never repeat. I was in Newtown about 36 hours after the massacre. President Obama wanted to be present, bear witness to what had happened, and try to help heal the community. I had never seen Secret Service agents cry until that day. There is an incredibly heartbreaking photo of Obama posing with the little siblings of victims, joyful at the idea of meeting the president and still very much unaware of what had happened to their brothers and sisters. It's been 13 years, and I cry about that trip every year on the anniversary.
Well, Alex Jones, soulless fuck that he is, saw this as a business opportunity.
Ugh.
In the aftermath of the shooting, he first claimed that the attack was a False flag. But by 2014, he pivoted, alleging that actually there were no dead kids at all. Nobody was dead. The kids, fake. The parents, paid actors pretending to grieve the children that weren't real.
In 2015, then-presidential candidate Donald Trump appeared on Alex Jones' program, promising that he wouldn't let Jones down. The daughter of the Sandy Hook principal wrote an open letter to Trump in response to the appearance, urging the GOP presidential nominee to disavow Jones' awful statements about her dead mother and all those dead kids. After he was sworn in as president, members of Newtown's school board wrote Trump a letter asking him to recognize the deaths of the Sandy Hook victims. Ever the class act, Trump didn't respond.
Meanwhile, Jones was running a lucrative and relentless harassment campaign against the families of the slain children, telling his listeners to call the parents and ask them how their children died. Some parents received death threats after their home addresses were doxxed.
Jones platformed another conspiracy nut named Wolfgang Halbig, an ex-Florida school official who Jones featured on InfoWars. Halbig demanded public records on the dead children and became so obsessed with proving that Sandy Hook was fake that he stalked and harassed some of their families.
Another Alex Jones fan named Andrew David Truelove stole memorial signs dedicated to Grace McDonald and Chase Kowalski, 2 6-year-old children who died at Sandy Hook. After he stole the signs, he called the children's parents to taunt them. He ended up getting thrown in jail for a year.
The person who probably should be rotting in jail is Alex Jones, but his fame and wealth have shielded him from any consequences of his actions. Until 2018.
That's when the chickens, as they say, came home to roost for Jones. On April 16th, 2018, oddly and satisfyingly, almost 25 years to the day after the Branch Davidian raid that kicked off Jones's career in conspiracy, Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis, whose son Jesse Lewis had been killed at Sandy Hook, filed a defamation lawsuit against Alex Jones and his associated media businesses in Travis County, Texas. That same day, Leonard Posner and Veronique De La Rosa also filed suit. Posner had been forced to move several times in order to escape the constant harassment from InfoWars fans.
Jones and his gaggle of legal crayon eaters slow walked the case and in late 2019 were fined over $126,000 for contempt of court. Their offense? They straight up didn't produce witnesses or comply with discovery in the defamation cases they were facing.
Come on, Alex, this isn't like drinking and driving in Texas. Discovery isn't optional. Jones kept getting handed L's in court, many of which were of his own making. His legal team's strategy seemed to be to try over and over again to just get the lawsuits dropped. They also refused to comply with most of what the court asked of them. This complete lack of compliance with judicial orders resulted in what's known as a default judgment, which ended up ordering Jones to pay out the entire amount of damages claimed in the two lawsuits.
But a jury would determine an additional award from Jones and his companies to the 4 Texas plaintiffs. Jones continued to not take the trial seriously. Like a complete pussy, he skipped court on the day that Neil Heslin testified. Where was he, you might ask? He was making an episode of InfoWars, wherein he insulted the grieving father who was currently testifying against him in court. Hours later, he showed up to testify on his own behalf. He was the only person who did, and admitted that he thought Sandy Hook was actually real.
Through it all, Jones kept insisting that he'd done everything the court had asked of him and whined that he was being railroaded. And the attorneys for the families kept dog-walking him. Like in this Hall of Fame moment when opposing counsel revealed to Alex that they'd gained access to all of the materials he'd lied about providing to them.
12 days ago, your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years. And when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protected in any way. And as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession. And that is how I know you lied to me when you said you didn't have text messages about Sandy Hook. Did you know that?
I told you the truth. This is your Perry Mason moment. I gave them my phone, and then...
Mr. Jones, you need to answer the question.
No,
did you know this happened?
No, I didn't know this happened. But, I mean, I told you. I gave them the phone over.
Mr. Jones... In discovery, you were asked, do you have Sandy Hook text messages on your phone? And you said no, correct? You said that under oath, didn't you?
I mean, I was mistaken, but you got the messages right there.
You know it perfectly.
It's like, I mean, he tries to pass it off. He's like, I mean, if I said made a mistake, I made a mistake. It's called perjury, my brother.
It's perjury.
So while Alex Jones is annoying the ever-loving fuck out of that poor judge in Texas, on June 26, 2018, seven families of Sandy Hook victims and one FBI agent involved in the investigation filed a lawsuit of their own against Jones and his associated media businesses in Connecticut. In contrast to the aspartame contrition he showed during the Texas trial, Jones was markedly more combative during the Connecticut trial.
Robert Parker's sitting right here. He's real, isn't he?
Yes.
And for years, you put a target on his back, didn't you?
Objection to the form of that, Judge.
You put a target on his back just like you did every single parent and loved one sitting here, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
These are real people. You know that, Mr. Jones?
I think you just told him to move on.
Just like all the Iraqis, but you liberals kill and love. Just, you're unbelievable. You switch on emotions on and off when you want. It's just ambulance chasing.
You have families in this courtroom here that lost children, sisters, wives, moms.
This is a struggle session. Are we in China? I've already said I'm sorry hundreds of times, and I'm done saying I'm sorry. I didn't progenerate this. I wasn't the first person to say it. American gun owners didn't like being blamed for this, as the left did, so we rejected it mentally and said it must not be true. But I legitimately thought it might have been staged, and I stand by that, and I don't apologize for it.
And don't apologize, Mr. Jones. Please don't apologize.
No, I've already apologized to the parents over
because
and over again.
Because we know you're
I don't apologize to you.
Objection,
don't apologize
objection.
To you.
Those poor people.
Those poor people. You know, footage of him in a courtroom really shows that when he is not in control of the microphone, he's a complete fucking pussy. He
totally.
Cannot handle any pushback whatsoever. He cannot handle anything that isn't just him monologuing. We'll get more into the trials in a second, but let's go back to 2018. 2018 was not a great year for Alex Jones, as social media sites started growing wary of his shtick and began deplatforming him. It started with YouTube in February after Jones accused Parkland school shooting survivor David Hogue of being a crisis actor.
He really doesn't have any original ideas, does he? The drip, drip, drip accelerated into the summer as YouTube and Facebook started selectively removing Jones' content. But the dam broke on August 6, 2018, when Facebook, YouTube, Apple, and Pinterest removed all of Alex Jones' content. Twitter and Periscope followed.
I want to know who was, like, adding Alex Jones to their Pinterest.
Pinterest? Board. Same.
Of course, we all know what happened when Elon Musk emerged from his K-hole for long enough to reinstate Jones on Twitter after he acquired the social media site. But Jones remains banned from most social media, including Pinterest, which really upset him, as this neuters his ability to find new audiences. But back to the lawsuits. Alex Jones continued acting like a cancer on humanity at every turn. It's like a compulsion for him to be a piece of shit. When one of the plaintiffs in the Connecticut case died in an apparent suicide in March 2019, Jones took to InfoWars and suggested that the death was a false flag. Way to make the death of a grieving father about you, Alex.
On July 25th, 2022, the jury trial to determine how much Jones owed two of the Sandy Hook families began in Texas.
In August 2022, Jones was ordered to pay $4.1 million in compensatory damages and $45.2 million in punitive damages in the Texas lawsuits. And in October, the Connecticut judge ruled that Jones owed those families a monocle-popping $965 million in damages to be shared by the 15 plaintiffs.
He's going to have to sell a lot of male virility supplements.
Of course, Alex Jones handled it in the most classless way possible. He didn't attend court on the day of the verdict, instead live broadcasting himself reacting, asking incredulously, "Do these people think they're getting any money?"
And then he asked his viewers to send him money, which probably didn't help what happened next, when the judge further awarded the plaintiffs $473 million in punitive damages, which brought the total Alex Jones owed Sandy Hook families to a neck vein popping $1.4 billion.
Alex Jones had one more Koopa shell to throw on the Mario Kart track that was his wasted life. He declared bankruptcy in late 2022 in a transparent attempt to avoid having to pay the Sandy Hook families anything. But that only slowed things down for so long. In 2023, a bankruptcy judge was like, fuck that, and ruled that liquidating his business and starting fresh would not free him of the $1.4 billion of debt that he owed the families. Every penny that Alex Jones's bloated carcass earns for the rest of his life is owed to the grieving families he tormented. Still, Jones's legal battles continue as Sandy Hook families attempt to chase down the money that Jones was allegedly moving around to avoid being seized by the feds. In October of 2025, the Supreme Court declined to hear Alex Jones's appeal. For dessert, Please enjoy this montage of Alex Jones freaking out.
We just offer our children up to the system with the fluoride and the water and the GMO hurting them, and we let fat perverts grab them at the airport to train them for the pedophile government.
I just want to fucking stop these people. I'll try to be dramatic here, but it's been a hard fight.
You think I'm here to be shit on? Do I look like a fucking toilet to you? This is the dark Alex Jones. There's no more filter. It's gone. And anybody fucks with me is going to get the full truth. And nothing but it, so help me God.
They're like, you know, if you just turn against Trump, things will be better. But he was doing good. And that's what makes it so bad. If he'd have been a piece of crap from the beginning, it would be so bad. But we made so many sacrifices. God almighty.
How has he not had a stroke?
See, this is why men shouldn't be in charge. No emotional control. Even though Alex Jones is a huge piece of shit and is past the height of his popularity, the damage he's done can't be overstated. Not only has he directly influenced people to commit violence and shown unimaginable cruelty to grieving families in pursuit of eyeballs on his grifty ad reads, he's provided a plausible scapegoat for other members of the media who don't go to the extremes that Jones goes, but nonetheless exploit the same fears. In the same way that an office sex pest can minimize the harm they do by pointing out that they're not Harvey Weinstein, so too can Laura Ingraham look like an upstanding journalist compared to the dirtbag standards set by Jones. And he's had imitators who have also been dangerous. Take Glenn Beck, or as I like to say, caffeine-free diet Alex Jones. Would half of the slack-jawed gym idiot manosphere podcast world exist without Jones? Could Maha Moms exist without Jones? Hard to say, but you know what? He's somebody who does not make the world a better place. Alyssa, how do you rate Alex Jones on our matrix of fucking guys?
Alex Jones is like an actual, he's like top 1% fucking guy. Like he's maybe the fuckiest guy of all time. I'm going to say scheming sociopath and true believing zealot.
Interesting. I think that he's evolved in his life and he's a really,
how?
He's a really good example of how money and power and attention in the, like,
okay,
when given to a person who is, like, very emotionally unwell, can change them. I think that he was a true believing zealot when he was young. I think he was okay. A true believing zealot, and now he's just a total opportunist.
Because, I get that, too.
Because he's so in the pocket of power right now, he has to have changed his tune. Because if he really was, like, just across the board skeptical of power, he would be screaming and crying about what ICE is doing, rightfully so. But he's not. He's a whore. He's a total.
You're right. You're right. I can come around on that.
Do I think he's dumb? Yes, I think he's
100%.
He's a real fucking moron. That's my view on Alex Jones.
All right. Well, that wraps up the time we have for this episode of This Fucking Guy. If you like what you've heard, hit subscribe, share with your friends, and leave us a comment if you've got an idea for a future fucking guy we should spotlight.
This episode was written by me with an assist from Alyssa Mastromonaco. Mia Kelman is our video editor. All the rest of our credits, as well as links to our sources, like the Knowledge Fight podcast and Rob Kunzia's CNN profile of Jones, can be found in our show notes.
Take care, be well, don't choke yourself out for fun.
And fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
In moments like these, it's easy to feel overwhelmed and even easier to feel powerless. But we are neither. I'm Stacey Abrams, and on my podcast, Assembly Required, I take on each executive action, legislative battle, and breaking news moment by asking three questions. What's really happening? What can we do about it? And how do we keep going together? This is a space for clarity, strategy, and hope rooted in action. Not denial. New episodes of Assembly Required drop Tuesdays. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube.
On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.